Okay, Revelation 22, verse 18. And I'll read all the way to the end of the Bible. Revelation 22:18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're certainly grateful for the book of Revelation and for all the insight that you give us in your word. It is revelation enlightening us, but Lord, it is also that which teaches us how little we know. And even after we've been given revelation and a book of Revelation, the wise Christian recognizes in humility how much we owe to you for anything we know. There's nothing that just arises from ourselves. Lord, we note that the people in the world who can conjure things up from their own insides, their own mind and heart, are not reliable witnesses for you. But those that have been given revelation from heaven, who as John humbly receive it and declare it to us, these are the ones that we're to trust. And so I pray, Lord, you would teach us now in these latter verses of this book, in Jesus' name. Amen. We were out late today with the trip to Charleston, so Cindy's plans for supper involved Taco Bell as we're coming back through, so I stopped. And I ordered, and they added something to my order that I didn't order. And I saw it when I was standing over there waiting, because I go inside. I don't like to go through the drive-thru. So I went inside and was looking at it, and they added, and I was just livid about this. They added a senior discount. I did not ask for it, didn't say, can I get a senior discount? I'm old enough for it. I don't know what the age is even. But I noticed it, which meant to me that she thought I was worthy of the senior discount. And that was 86 cents I didn't need that she gave me. And so that's silly, but it gets serious if we add to God's words as is said here in the latter part of Revelation. It says here in these verses 18 and 19 that if anyone adds or if anyone takes away, verse 19, then there's judgment. Now it's natural for humans to dislike what Revelation talks about. It's not just because they don't understand it. It's because they understand it. There are things in Revelation that aren't liked. Just like in the Bible, there are things that people don't like. For a long time, all the way back into the early part of this last century and before, people were explaining away or dismissing miracles. Hysteria. They never happened. The disciples just were also excited. They said it happened, whether it was the resurrection, whether it was raising people from the dead, whether it was walking across the Red Sea on dry ground. All of that is just dismissed. It's not because the Bible doesn't teach it. It's because they just can't believe it. And therefore, since they can't believe it, they say it just could not have happened. So they take away Jesus being the only way to heaven. That is greatly offensive today. Completely dismissed. Completely rejected. Because we know it's comfortable to us to think that all these people can't be wrong. So there are many more ways than just Jesus, even if it says Jesus is the only way. As I was going through Corinthians about role submission in women. Totally rejected. It is distasteful to speak of submission of females to males in marriage in the church. The modern mind cannot accept it, and therefore we're told that Paul is a chauvinist. He just was wrong. It was a world back then where the minds of men were so warped and slanted, and we're so much more enlightened today, and so that's rejected. Biblical teaching on sexuality. A husband and a wife, a man and a woman. That's passé. We've gotten to where now men can marry men and women can marry women, and before long you'll be able to marry your pet, your dog or your cat, and it's just all going to be, you know, Shangri-La, because we've gotten past all these narrow-minded, mean-spirited people of the Bible. Salvation by grace through faith. The number one belief in the world is that we can do something to merit salvation, in spite of what the Bible says. Totally rejects salvation by grace through faith. The church, not respected in our day. The church is not understood. The church is being replaced by parachurch things. The church is being replaced by people don't even want to go there. The church is being remade, remanufactured to please sinners and not emphasize truth. And so here in the end of this book, we come to this warning about doing exactly what people do, adding and subtracting from the Word of God. Now, this verse 18 and 19 have been used many times as a defense for a closed canon of Scripture. What that means is, when we say the canon of Scripture is closed, it's canon, C-A-N-O-N, it means that no further revelation can be added to the Bible. That the 66 books we have, as determined by those who recognized God's authority and those who delivered it and wrote it, is closed. It's like saying, now that you're married, you're off the market. It's a closed marriage, as opposed to an open marriage where it's still possible to entertain dates from other people. But a closed canon of Scripture means it's over. And there are a lot of religions today that have their own Bible, their own authority. Book of Mormon has several. Three, Book of Mormon, Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants. I guess four, and the Book of Abraham, and then you've got the Catholics. There's the Church Councils. There's the decrees of the Pope. You know, all of that. So, and you've got Charismatics, who tend to, if they get a dream or a vision or a sense that God is speaking to them, they don't put in the Bible, but they say, thus says the Lord, this is what God told me, this is what God spoke to me, and so then it's almost like Scripture. But really, although I agree the canon is closed, I agree that there's no more Scripture to be written, I think those verses aren't intended to teach that. I think it does teach it in the sense that it's the last book of the Bible, And the book encompasses from beginning to the church in the time of John all the way to the end. So you could make an argument for that. But the warning is more to adding and subtracting from this prophecy There are other verses, by the way, the Old Testament, that talk about not adding or subtracting from God's words, mainly adding, I guess, or rejecting them. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Deuteronomy 12, 32, whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to nor take away from it. Proverbs 35 and 6, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. So three times in the Old Testament there, we're told not to add, and two times we're told not to take away. So that is a theme of the Old Testament as well. And revelation happened after these things were said, the Old Testament. So it's more of a moral thing about taking God's word as it is. Don't make it something else. So that's what this is about. And the fact that it's written here in verses 18 and 19, why would a parent tell their child when they went outside to play, do not go near the road? Because that is what they have shown a tendency to do. Don't get your clothes muddy. Why would a mother tell a child that? Because their tendency, their inclination is to do it. So why is it here that we're told by this book that we're not to add or subtract from the Word of God? Because that is what people do. If they don't like it, they change it. They alter it. They take away from it. If you don't believe that, I know you do, but if you didn't, you can see that we do it even with history. The history that's taught in schools today is not the history that we were taught. Because we become embarrassed by certain things, and so we've just either dismissed it or changed it. There are things about our founding fathers that the modern educational system does not want to think about. So we don't talk about it, or we say something different than what they said. Imagine if the founding fathers had the ability to crawl out of their graves and go to whoever is teaching and saying something they never said or believed, what kind of world we would have right now. We'd see the founding fathers all over the country, especially in Washington. So when people see something they don't like, they, with just a little flip of the hand, change it. Just the teaching of this prophecy. The fact that we have sin portrayed as such an ugly thing. The teaching of eternal judgment, cast into the lake of fire. Men don't want to believe that. Or that heaven is only for those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Or that Jesus is coming again. The religious liberals have been against that forever. Oh, he's not coming again. He comes in our hearts. He's not coming visibly. Remember, that's what Peter said. Men would say, where's the promise of his coming? For things are just like they've always been. So that's taught in this book, so they're going to be against that. The fact that there's a religious system in the world that is godless and rebellious against God. People don't want to think about that. They don't want to think about religion or criticize religion of other people as a godless thing, and the false prophet comes and rallies a religion to support the beast. The way the government is seen as taking over the world and being evil, the beast, and making people get a sign, a symbol in their forehead or on their hand. That's getting way too close to home today. And so people don't like it. So they're going to reject it, change it. The fact that nature has upheavals and there's great judgment on sinners. The fact that Christians have to suffer, as we see they do, the first couple of the second and third chapter, and then the martyrs we see, the attacks on Christians in the book of Revelation, the inequality between believers and unbelievers, that God makes a favorite to believers and his wrath is against unbelievers. All these things are unpopular today, and many more. And so men try to improve. You've seen it when you've gone to a movie that's based upon a book you've read. And you go there and you look at the movie. The book is too big for the movie. The book takes days to read. The movie is a 2-hour. And in some cases, like Lord of the Rings, which was a recent movie a few years ago, you have to get a woman in the group of nine of the heroes going to take down the evil empire. So they had to put a woman in there. There's no woman in the book, but there sure is one in the movie. And on it goes. They change based on what they think will sell movies and people will be accepting of. The Noah movie, I've not seen that, but I've heard that it's nothing about Noah in the Bible. It's a science fiction about Noah. And it's, you know, it's got a boat, I guess. So there's some accuracies to it. As I understand it, it's pretty well, you know, you wing it. If you've seen it, you know more than I do. But there's an attempt to improve upon God's words. Because God, you know, wrote them way back then. I've heard people say when we talk about the Bible, I said, don't you believe the Bible? Yeah, I believe the Bible, but it's so old. Try that with your grandmother. Yeah, I believe my grandmother, but she's so old. She'll smack you. So we have this warning because that's what people do. This is standard fare. And so don't do it, he says. When you add or subtract to the Bible, what you're saying is it's not good enough as it is. It's not what it should be. Because if you write a paper and you go back and edit it, and Jessica's all the time sending me papers for me to go over. She sent me a message today about a religious argument that she wanted to defeat in some discussion group. So she asked me to go through it. Is the theology correct? She's pretty close. She did pretty well. But there are people, when you edit, you take out this word, you take this sentence out. I told her you need to take this phrase out. It'll be more accurate. That's because it wasn't up to snuff in the original. So you change it. And the common belief of humans, and we saw it in Corinthians, the way the Corinthians started off, they changed the church, they changed the Bible, they changed morality. All of that they changed because they considered that the modern world in which they lived was actually better than the Bible. So they just changed it. The roles of men and women, the way the gifts were in the church, the way morality was, the wisdom of philosophy as opposed to the wisdom of revelation. All of those things they changed. And so they're being corrected because if they would only stayed on the road they had been given to stay on, they would have avoided all these problems. So the world's always changing. The Red Sea was the Sea of Reeds. It was 6 inches and not a sea. They could walk through it on dry ground. Then you get into more trouble because you say, well, how did all the armies of Pharaoh drown in 6 inches of water? But see, the point is, Jesus is in the tomb. Jesus is not dead. He is just passed out. So in the coolness of the tomb, he revives. Cool air, you know, like a slap in the face. And then he pushes the rock away. And, well, wait a minute now. See, it always doesn't quite work out. Jesus didn't walk on water. He was walking on a sandbar. Just below the surface of the water. When Peter stepped in, he didn't step on the sandbar. He stepped off into the deep. Of course, at first he was on the sandbar. So we wonder how he didn't feel that his feet were going out from under him. And then he said, Lord, save me. Most of the explanations that are given are worse than the miracle by far. But people feel better with it. They feel better if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, because people don't rise from the dead. And if he didn't rise from the dead, they don't have to obey him, because he's dead. Or he didn't die, so he didn't pay for our sins. Whatever it is. So people take away from the scriptures, or they add to the scriptures on the basis of what they think would be the best. Think for a minute about Revelation. What about Revelation would people want to change? Now, I've listed some things. Surely, judgment they would want to change. Whether implicitly or explicitly. Whether by not focusing on it, not believing in it, explaining it away, saying it's just figurative language, and we don't have to worry about the judgment. There's no hell. There's no judgment. We're all saved through Christ. There are so many ways to go in which you really deny the teaching of Revelation. Because hell today, and it's been for a long time, I guess, is not a tasteful doctrine. It is just not civilized. People burning forever in hell, at torment, eternal torment, eternal decay, where the body, the soul, all just without ever falling completely apart, continually erodes. And it's an awful picture. It's in darkness, fire, alienation, in loneliness. It is just, it's awful. It is so awful that from every time to time, someone so-called evangelical or conservative will come up and say, you know, I just think the Bible doesn't really believe in hell, doesn't really teach hell. And they've wilted under the pressure. They're tired of defending something which they consider to be unworthy of God. So they change it. They remove it. Or they add something else. Yeah, okay, I see all this hell here. But really, although it doesn't say it, what it means is not people aren't really going to go there, because you can go there and you can purge your sin and come back out like purgatory. So you've added to it. If you add purgatory to the Bible, then you've added to Revelation. Because there's no purgatory there. There's an eternal lake of fire. Revelation is pretty narrow about who goes to heaven. Those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not those who are followers of Muhammad. Not those who are Eastern mystics. Not those who follow some cult. Not people who do good works. But those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And nobody else can enter the city. It's very exclusive. People don't like that. They want to be included. So they might add a clarification that others also can get in. But just, you know, maybe not on the same level. The Mormons have a teaching where the good Mormons go way up here, this celestial kingdom, and then you got those who weren't quite as good, they'll go to terrestrial kingdom, and then you got these down here, they'll just go to some other kind of kingdom. And the only ones that go to hell are the devil and people who are just really, really, really bad, and they get annihilated. They don't eternally live. They just get zapped out, sizzled, they're gone. And this all. So they've changed it. They've added kingdoms. They've added levels. They've added annihilation. And none of that is in Revelation. And why do they do it? Because it's more palatable to humans. So if you add blessings, subtract judgments, you've changed the scriptures. I guess the most common violation of this warning is if you include in the list of those who are going to heaven those who are not believers in Christ, whether the whole world, a universalist, or some of the world. And if you exclude from hell those who are not in the book of life, some who are better than others, some who are good, not as evil, they'll be okay. All of that would be adding or subtracting to the book of Revelation. There are many other possibilities. Denying the lake of fire, denying the throne of judgment, denying the great separation between believers and unbelievers, denying heaven, denying hell, adding purgatory, adding indulgences so you can gain favor with God on earth by your own works, denying consequences to being sinful, denying rewards for the righteous as we see in Revelation, removing the church from God's central plan. You just go on and on. Because that's our nature. That's the tendency. That's what we do. That's what we feel comfortable doing. And so it says, verse 18, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone asks of these things, God will add to him something. You see, in both cases, there's an attempt to improve upon something. Verse 18, someone adds. Verse 19, someone takes away. So, the Lord says through John that, okay, if you add, I'll add to you. You're trying to add to it, make it better. I'll add something to you that is worse. I'll add to you the plagues that are written in this book. You want to be more open-minded, open-armed to all sorts of people, like basic general natural religion is today. Just whatever religion you want, you take that and you're fine. You want to open up that far? Then I'll add to you the plagues written in the book. You want to take away from something because you don't need that, you don't want to have that, you don't want to face that, you don't want to teach that, then I'll take something from you. I'll take away your part from the, it says, book of life, tree of life is the Greek. From the holy city and from the things which are written in this book, the blessings. So you want to add, I'll add plagues. You want to take away, I'll take away the blessings. So in every case, when you try to improve the Bible, it says here, you make it worse for yourself. You add to the Bible, you add plagues. You take away from the Bible, you're out of heaven. Doesn't mean you can lose your salvation. But it tells us the character of the person, the nature of the person who would do something like this. What kind of person would do this? Who is it? So you look back at your marriage vows. I mean, you might have had the regular ones. Cindy and I wrote ours. So you go back now, after the fact. You look over your wedding vows. You get together and you say, let's talk about this. I'd like to take this out right here. I'd like to add this. Let's add the fishing every weekend to it. Let's take away this, cling only unto you all the days of my life. That's a little bit restrictionist. So let's add and subtract. Let's get together, hammer it out. We'll present it back to the preacher who married us, and we'll renegotiate everything, and then we'll re-say the vows, and we'll have a new contract. Well, that's not going to go well. But you see, that's what people do. The Catholic Church has a thing where they nullify marriages. That way, you can not worry about divorce being wrong. It's been erased, and it's like it never happened. So that way, I think you have to give a pretty good offering to get this. Once that's done, you're free to marry someone else. There's not the stigma of divorce. There's not the stigma of adultery or whatever else if you had an improper break. But you see, that's totally adding. I mean, not to this book. It's just totally adding and subtracting from the Scriptures. Who would do that? Not someone who properly evaluated sinfulness. A person who knew sin to be what it was would accept what it says here in Revelation as the full justification for judgment on sinners. A person who really understands sin does not say, well, now, wait a minute, I didn't deserve that. They say, I deserve all of that. But a person who really has not come to grips with sin is fine to change it because they don't see the seriousness of sin that's depicted here. Not someone who properly envisioned God's holiness, which is depicted for us in Revelation 4 and 5. We're shown how holy God is, and the judgment upon sinners follows that. And everyone who could see the holiness of God would say, that is entirely appropriate. It is just. It is righteous, as is declared in Revelation, for the Lord to do this. Because we've seen the holiness of God. Isaiah saw the holiness of God in Isaiah 6, and he said himself that he was undone. That's the proper response. John, in the first chapter of this book, fell down on his face as a dead man when he saw Jesus. That is what is missing when people pick around these things. When Cindy's cooking, I don't go in the kitchen and change anything. I don't go add any salt, pepper, cinnamon, paprika, sugar, nothing. What kind of insane lunatic would I be? It would be saying, I don't think she's a good cook. I think she is a good cook. But I would be saying that I need to improve your meals. Let me add a little bit of lemon juice here. That's her area when she's operating. I don't go in that area. I don't change anything. I don't go over and say, you know, you think right there? You might want to do a little bit better with that. What kind of idiot would I have to be? I totally divorced from reality. You know, I don't like her coming along telling me how to run a computer either. If I'm fixing one, I surely know more about that than she does. So, you know, it's just not someone who actually has a grasp, that was easy to say, on the Lord. It's not someone who believes in biblical inspiration by the Holy Spirit. Because anytime you go in and you're going to change and improve the Bible, you don't understand biblical inspiration, which is infallible, inerrant. It is God's Word delivered through the pens and mouths of men by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe that, yeah, you can add all kinds of things because you just think it's a natural book anyway. People have said, you know, if the Bible is written today, then the hymns in the hymn book will be part of the Psalms. Really now? Not even close. Not a humble person. A humble person doesn't come along and say, well, we need to fix this up a little bit. A proud person does. someone who feels more about making people feel better than having people hear the truth, because that's what it's about. People don't like hell, they change it. People don't like exclusivity of belief in Christ to get to heaven, they change it. A person who's elevated human philosophy and opinion above the Word of God, that's who does it. I mean, it's not something we think about much. You know, we see the warning here. It's very serious, and people do it all the time. And it's not about, by the way, it's not about whether you believe in a physical millennium or not. That's not purposefully adding or subtracting anything. There's different views of that because they're just not everything is as clear as we would like. It's not if you believe in it, a tribulation period will be populated by believers, or whether you have a pre-trib rapture, or all that is just that's a different thing. That's interpretation problems, differences. This is where people take a truth, don't like it, change it, add to it, subtract. Teacher in school that just he couldn't see the purpose of, I think it was Philemon. What in the world good is that? Martin Luther stumbled a little bit there when he didn't like the book of James. You see, we got to be careful. Our tendency is, if you don't like something, rather than submit to it, change it. And the warning here is never don't do it. If you add, you get added to something you don't want. If you take away, something's going to be taken away from you, something you don't want to lose. Verse 20, he who just testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's a conclusion, but you see, there's a person content with things the way they are. I'm coming quickly? Okay, please do. That's what verse 17 is about. When the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, they're saying, come, Lord Jesus. And so those who are thirsty should come, because there's an invitation. And so he closes with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with all, be with you all. And so we accept it. I mean, it's just there. We get checks from time to time. You get paid for work rendered. You ever think about changing it? Adding to it? Adding a few zeros here and there? It says $50. You maybe squeeze another couple of zeros in there, make it $5,000. Do a little bit of changing on the writing and try to turn into the bank. Some people call that a crime. Some people get locked up for things like that. You see, what is. What the Lord has said is what the Lord has said. And we're to be happy with that, not add to it, not take away from it, but be happy with it. Any comments you have?